Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. A word from our Holy Scripture.
It is inevitable that at some point in a young child's development, if they have been exposed to God or gone to Sunday school or even talked about it with their friends, they're going to ask the question one way or another, how big is God? And what is our answer to that? We don't even get it ourselves quite often. How big is God? So this week, I typed into my browser the query, how big is God? And after a little digging around, I encountered this Jewish concept of Ein Sof. Ein Sof. Two words. E-I-N. Ein Sof. S-O-F. Ein Sof. And in the Jewish mystic tradition, this is translated roughly as endlessness. Ein Sof. Endlessness. So I thought maybe a good symbol to represent how big is God is this one. No, go back. That one. You ruined it, Keith. What is this symbol? It's a symbol for infinity, right? Suggesting that there is no beginning and no end. And perhaps it is an apt symbol of God, capturing the sense of God as infinite or endless. But I thought an even better symbol would be this. That's right. Who is this? Buzz Lightyear. And he says, to infinity and beyond. To infinity and beyond. This more accurately captures the concept of Ein Sof. God is not contained within infinity. Infinity is contained within God. Which, of course, is a logical absurdity because human heads explode trying to imagine anything beyond infinity, because infinity is infinity. Yet, this is how big God is. In my reading, I encountered a rabbi, David Cooper, who wrote a book called God is a Verb. And one of the chapters in the book is this, God is not what we think it is. And in the chapter, he writes, what is God? God is not what we think it is. God is not a thing, a being, a noun. It does not exist, as existence is defined, for it takes up no space, or it includes all space but is not limited by it, and is not bound by time. So God is not bound by space or time. God is not a thing, a being, a person. And this concept Jewish mystics referred to as Ein Sof. Ein Sof. And further to this, he says, David Cooper says, Ein Sof should never be conceptualized in any way. It should not be called creator, almighty, father, mother, infinite, the one, Brahma, Buddha mind, Allah, Adonai, Elohim, El or Shaddai, and it should never, never be called He. It is none of these names, and it has no gender, he says, end quote. In other words, God contains all things, but is beyond all things. Infinity is contained within God. In the Christian tradition, we have a similar concept with this idea of via negativa. It's a way of talking about the attributes of God without actually limiting God, because every time you name something, you limit it. Every time we name, we were talking about this in the Bible, so every time you name a human being, we limit it to what we name. We think we've captured you in the name, and you can't. Because God is so far beyond our capacity as human beings to comprehend, anything we can say about God is of necessity limited and therefore not complete. The most true thing we can say about God is that God is not that. The most true thing we can say about God is that God is not this, or by way of negation. By saying what God is not rather than what God is, we do not put boundaries around God. For example, when we say that God is love, we have to qualify that with, but God is not only that, because God is much bigger than any concept of love that we could create. Or God is infinite, but God is not infinite because God is beyond infinite. And it's hard to wrap our minds around. I know when I first encountered this concept. That means that anything we can think about God or say about God, God is not or is more than. It is all contained within God. And this kind of helps us to guard against the presumption of thinking that through human insight, we can penetrate the impenetrable mystery of God. St. Augustine, one of the great teachers of our faith, said that if you comprehend anything about God, it's not God. And if you're able to comprehend, it's because you mistook something else for God. And if you almost comprehend, it's because you allowed your own thoughts to deceive you. You see, in the very act of naming this thing we call God and giving it attributes, we limit it to something we think we can comprehend. And that's a problem. Because when you think you can comprehend something, we can put it in a box of our own creation and somehow tame it, make it bend to our wills and understanding. And this is limiting and restrictive. When we do this in Christianity, in religion, or in our own thinking, we begin to use God then for our own selfish purposes. Not letting God be God, unlimited, unrestricted, beyond infinity. As I heard someone say this week, we need to think of God as beyond anything that we can even imagine, and then prepare to be amazed. But if this is the case, is it possible then to know God or have a relationship with God? And the short answer actually is yes. But it won't be a knowing or a relationship related to or limited by facts or ideas, or by even a relationship between one person and another. It is a knowing. It is a relationship centered in what we call, what I call our knowers. Our soul, whatever you want to call it. It is beyond logic. We can't figure God out. We have to have a relationship in a different way. We can only experience God. Immerse ourselves in God and be swept away into God's essence, which paradoxically is also our essence. It is best described in this way, probably, by two lovers immersed in ecstatic lovemaking, rather than anything any theologian can describe through logic or concepts or words. This is a great paradox of life, in fact. We are contained in God, and God is contained in us. And most in the world don't get this. We cannot come to God through thinking about God, but by longing for God in our innermost being, even though God is already there. In the aching to become one with God and seeking deep connection, we will find God. And ultimately, this is what every human being desires and needs, to be healthy and whole, to make a connection with God, or whatever we call God. Today we're completing our April theme of faith. I can't believe it's almost May. Doesn't feel like it for some reason. And I want to ask us today, if God is this big to infinity and beyond, how big is our faith? If we could even possibly begin to conceive of God as this big, can our own faith stretch and open up to the possibility of containing the universe, all that is contained within God? Apparently the human Jesus had a little work to do on this as well. His concept of God was not big enough. When this woman came, Canaanite woman came begging him to help her daughter, his response was to dismiss her, because he hadn't come to help people from her group of people, from her tribe. He hadn't come to do that. But her response surprised him, and he had to acknowledge that she was right. That she had a tremendously great faith. His heart and capacity of care expanded to include more than just those of his own tradition in those moments when she said, even the dogs get the crumbs off the master's table. And he said, wow, that's big faith. Can we believe that God cares for all, even those who don't apprehend God the same way that we do? Is our faith big enough to contain this God? Because God is big enough to contain us. All of us and all creation. I was listening yesterday to CBC's program, Quirks and Quirks, with Bob McDonald. Anybody ever hear that? Anybody hear it yesterday? Fabulous. On it, he was interviewing a renowned theoretical physicist, Lee Smolin, who is from the Perimeter Institute for Theoretical Physics in Waterloo, Ontario. And don't believe for a second, I understand most of what they said yesterday. But Dr. Smolin is calling for a rewrite of the fundamental theory of physics, namely quantum mechanics, which has been around since Einstein's time and has explained so much of our world. It's a theory that applies in the atomic and subatomic world, and it's a theory of uncertainty and probability. So in his new book, Dr. Smolin writes, his book is called Einstein's Unfinished Revolution, The Search for What Lies Beyond the Quantum. And he calls for a realist theory of quantum physics that eliminates the uncertainty in the current theory to get at the true nature of reality. Small project. This, of course, was Einstein's desire. He wanted to find a unified theory that would explain everything. Right now, however, scientists still have to use different theories to explain different things. Macro versus micro. Gravity versus atoms. There is no one theory that explains reality today. So, as I said, I don't pretend to understand the least bit about quantum physics, but here's what fascinated me in the interview, and it's worth a listen. You just go on to CBC's Quirks and Quarks, and it'll be on yesterday, 15 minutes. Dr. Smolin proposes that the ultimate theory of reality will come down to relationships. That somehow, that one theory that will explain all reality will be about relationships. That all existence or reality will fundamentally and ultimately be explained by the relationships between all things. From the macro to the micro. At least that's what I understood about the conversation. You can come back and tell me later if you understood something. However, this shouldn't come as a big surprise to us. The Christian tradition has always asserted that everything in existence can be explained in relation to God. Everything in existence must be explained in relation to God. And if we understand God as this big, everything is in relationship to God because it's all contained within God. Not God as a noun, but God as a verb. God who is created, who has created and is creating, always. Always in motion and always in relationship to creation, including us. So it is that our faith has to be big enough to contain all relationships in the world. Does it? Is God big enough to contain all relationships in the world? So I went really high tech today. And I'm going to ask you, could God contain all these relationships? Does God contain Christians? All Christians, or just the ones we agree with? Right? It's hard. Does God contain all religions? Is God big enough for that? Can God contain mentally ill? God contain addicts? Tough for us to wrap our mind around some of these things, eh? Lots of traditions don't. Somebody in the room said, can we vote on that? I just see that when he comes. If God is big enough to contain and sustain creation and all its variety and it's constantly in relationship with all things, we have to ask ourselves, is our faith big enough to do the same, to include all of these people, all the people around the world? Is our faith big enough? Because it has not been in the past. Christians are notoriously small-minded. So I ask us today, is our faith big enough? Part of my devotional practice this year has been to explore some poetry, and one of the poets I have been reading is a Sufi mystic named Hafiz. From about the 13th, 14th century. And this is one of my favorite poems this year. Once a young woman said to me, Hafiz, what is the sign of someone who knows God? I became very quiet and looked deep into her eyes and replied, my dear, they have dropped the knife. Someone who knows God has dropped the cruel knife that most so often use upon their tender self and others. The world world in all of its beauty and variety and chaos and cruelty desperately needs people with faith big enough to drop their cruel knives and to truly care for each other and the earth. This is the only kind of faith big enough to reflect God, and the only kind of faith big enough to heal the world. How big is God? To infinity and beyond. I'm going to spend some time now in reflection and prayer.